Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Whole Truth Podcast with myself, Jordan Stevens, aka...
No.
It's Blitz and the Bits.
No.
What do you mean, though?
I hate when people say aka.
Well, I just have some other names.
Okay.
What do you call me?
Jay.
Jay. Which is, I'm proud of, because that is like the character.
Endearing.
And Men in Black.
No, that's not where it comes from. It's just an abbreviation.
Right. I mean, I think about Men in Black.
Quite often.
I'm joined by Makita Oliver.
And how would you describe our relationship? Who am I to you?
You are the closest of friends, allies. You've actually provided me with a lot.
Yeah, that's actually true. I've brought good people into your life.
Yeah, you have.
I didn't bring your girlfriend.
No.
Which I always wanted to be responsible for her presence in your life, but not quite.
You wanted to play Cupid.
Yeah.
You tried.
I did want to bring love into your life. I've tried many times to bring love into your life.
Yeah.
But I did bring love into your life in the form of Mackenzie.
Yeah, true.
It was one of your great loves now.
Yeah, that's true. You did. You essentially gave me fitness.
I gave you fitness. I gave you physique.
Yeah, same. I don't go to gym anymore, really. Yes. Basically, the ethos of this podcast is we are going to just get into discussion, open conversation,
okay,
about, I'd say, mental health.
Okay.
And our relationships with triggers or the ways in which we deal with it. I think that's always fun, is to hear about certain methods or how things affect your mental health.
Well, it's very strange that today we're recording this just before I'm going to basically a hypnotist about certain parts of my mental health.
What? Do you want to disclose anymore?
Yeah, I guess I can. I have this it's really strange. And it used to be small and now it got really big. And I was like, I have to deal with this. Basically, I have a really weird phobia of texture.
Wait, hold on. Because I'm with you on specific textures.
Right, okay. Like, I can't deal with
felt.
No.
Sorry, projection.
But obviously that's your
title projection. Title projection.
What's wrong with felt? No, see, felt would be a dream to me because it's soft. I'm not very good with hard, broken texture.
Sandpaper.
No, more like concrete.
And
brick.
It's actually not funny.
No, it's not funny.
You have an issue with concrete
everywhere.
Is it?
Broken, hard texture. Like, I'm not even that into that fake brick wall there.
It's freaking you out.
Even though that's made of paper, I imagine.
But how do you feel?
It's not like it grosses me out. It makes me go, like that. It makes me feel shuddery.
Yeah.
So I looked into it, and there is this thing called trypophobia, which is where, I don't know if I'm talking about this, which is where people have it, they can't look at holes. Like lots
that
of
are near
holes.
To each other.
Yeah, that are near to each
Yo.
Other. See, why does that get to us? Why
because
does
it could little... become a bigger hole.
Exactly, which is why I can't deal with cracks in pavements, because I feel like it could just be like, oh.
You know, I really feel like...
It's horrific.
Already, so far, that cassette boy could cut excerpts of this conversation and have an absolute field day.
God. We've only been doing it for like 2.5 minutes.
Just how are these two holes?
No, but I was like, I can't live like this because there's concrete and brick everywhere, and it was starting to feel quite overwhelming.
Is it the actual feeling of it or just looking at it?
Looking at it.
Wow.
Yeah. And some days it's like fine, some days it's so bad I'm like, oh.
See, that's interesting. What have you found any continuity between the days where it's worse?
No, and I've desperately been trying to think, is it when I'm hungover? Is it when I'm more stressed? It's not. It just, whenever it feels like being worse, it is. And that's what I find really disconcerting, because you never know when it's going to come at you. You never know when there's going to be another brick wall you can't handle. And then weirdly, do you know
you go to Legoland just to chill out.
I couldn't go to Legoland.
Why?
Because it's all blocky.
So it's the shape.
It's the shape and the texture. Look at my body language.
I understand, but texture insinuates... Yeah, okay.
But and also, weirdly, I spoke to our family about it. I spoke to Nana about it, and she was like, I totally get that.
Yeah,
and I spoke to my grandma, and she was like, yeah, I can't look at certain textures. So I think, hopefully, I'm not... I think it's... It is something people do have in their life in different ways. Like the fact that you have a weird thing about felt.
Yeah, yeah, I've got it for a few things. I've got one.
What does it make you do? Does it make your mouth itch?
No, the one that gets me the worst is when people... the wooden bit at the end of an ice cream. Like the, a lolly... You know, when it's like a Solero.
And what's wrong with that? With the stick?
And then someone gets the wooden bit and the net. Yeah, I can't do that. Okay. The teeth on the wood.
Oh,
wooden
okay.
Cutlery as well.
Oh, okay, all right. Like, so that kind of rubbing. Of...
And I can deal with it. It's just like thinking about it.
From it, yeah.
Or like felt or velvet hangers or like, or...
What about if like a woman was in a velvet dress?
Yeah, it would be cool, but like I wouldn't touch it too much. I'd be like, yes, sweet.
It'd be cool, but I wouldn't touch her.
I'd be like, hello.
But what does it do? Does it give you anxiety?
I don't give me anxiety. I just make. I mean, the wooden. Like, honestly, with the wooden cutlery, but even thinking about it, my mouth goes funny. It just goes. Bleh.
See, this is what I mean. I think.
Or
we
a dog chewing a tennis ball.
Okay, that's fair. These are quite abstract that don't really seem to mesh as one. So you know, that's what I mean. We're all.
I feel like I've had a bad experience. Maybe.
So I'm going to this hypnotherapist guy. He wants to be good. It's really expensive. But Lily went for smoking, and she stopped smoking. And
really?
He deals with like phobias and I guess addiction, sort of. He also said that, I was like, I know it sounds mental. He's like, no, I've done people who are scared of green. Like phobias are very, very bespoke.
The colour green.
To us. Yeah, imagine being scared of the colour green.
Some people
green.
Are scared of water.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, imagine being scared of something that's also within your body.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Anyway, so that's what's happening today after this.
I've just got over a fear of the saxophone solo. In Careless Whisper.
I love that saxophone solo.
I had to deal with it a lot after he died, which was like, do you know what I mean? Like when
not
George
just
Michael,
you.
RIP, huh?
Not just you.
What do you mean?
Well, you didn't just have to deal with it a lot after he died.
No. I know. I mean, as in, I up until the death of George Michael, RIP, absolute legend.
Yeah.
I could kind of avoid Careless Whisper.
Aye, okay.
But for a good 6 months, it was like... And I don't know what it is. I feel like it was... As a child, it made me uncomfortable, and I don't know why.
My God, you're being serious.
I'm being deadly serious. As a child, it made me uncomfortable, I don't know why. And then whenever it came on, I'd have to leave the room.
Do you think that maybe...
And now it's become psychosomatic.
Yeah. Do you think that as a child, it sounded a bit sexual, and that made you feel uncomfortable?
Do you want me to be really honest with you?
Go on.
For some reason, whenever I hear this Careless Whisper saxophone solo, I feel as though I'm stuck on a desolate street in the 80s under a single lamppost.
Oh my God,
rained on.
I kind of hear what you mean. It's sort of like depressing almost.
It's like I can't escape this one street in the 1980s specifically. And the 1980s is almost a phobia of mine.
Well, because it was such a bleak.
Well, other than Prince, I'm just not into how much reverb there were on snares. Okay. It's like every snare drum was in a really haunted building.
Oh, right. You weren't born in the 80s, were you?
I wasn't.
I'm
a 90s boy.
Three.
When the snares were reduced in...
Thank God for that.
Yeah, they calmed
Thank
down
God
a bit.
For
and
that.
There weren't so many, like... There wasn't so many floating fabrics in music videos.
Well, at least now I know how to really get to you when you start getting away. Now I was just whacking Careless Whisper.
Yeah, I'll just malfunction. But I have got... No, but I've got over it. It's actually my new favourite thing is to try and move past these feelings of discomfort. Wooden cutlery being one of them, because you end up sounding like a right douchebag. Yeah. When you're just like, excuse me, do you have any, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Can I not have this? When I'm like, I can't walk down that street, there's a brick wall. Thing. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, you start to sound ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm happy that we're both working through these very
hypnotherapy is fascinating.
Issues. Well, I've never done anything like it. And I just feel like, as if he's going to be able to hypnotize me. Like, come on.
What do you mean?
I just don't feel like it's going to happen. Like, it's going to work.
What? The hypnosis?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No, but I went to hypnosis once to stop eating carbs when I was 20. And she just talked to me and I just pretended it was working and it wasn't. I just don't think... Some people...
That's like... Remember when Darren Brown did that, like, nationwide trick that made everyone, like, get stuck to the chair?
No, I don't remember that.
He did a thing on television where you have to had to watch this thing. This is back when, like, there were literally, like, 5 channels. And maybe 3 of you. You had to watch this you had to watch this thing and not look away and sit in a chair.
Oh, yeah.
And half the nation got stuck.
Telly. Yeah.
And Harley, he actually got stuck. And I was like... I kind of wanted to carry on, but I was gutted.
Have you ever
I wasn't
had
stuck at all.
Personal hypnotherapy or hypnosis rather than like Darren Brown on telly?
No.
Do you think it would work? You think this
I've
is
looked
going
at something
to...
long enough and until I've fallen asleep.
That's not the same. That's not the same. I just don't think I'm going to go into this like...
I really think you will.
...thing. Okay, well, let's see.
You know what? That's a great start because obviously we do like to discuss methods in which to deal with these kind of bizarre neuro pathways that are sculpted by God knows what. I don't know who had a brick wall when you were younger, but they are responsible for this.
Yes, but it's their fault.
How are you?
I'm all right. I just feel like when you're facing a lot of stuff, it's a more positive place than when you're hiding from it, but it is a real struggle to like live in it and... think, try and solve it and try and survive it and get out on the other side of it. Well, whatever that may be. My fear of, like, obviously, I'm producing this new show, The One with Grimmy.
Amazing.
And, like, having to go into the role of producer, I found really difficult because I just keep thinking everything's falling apart and that I'm fighting for everything. My mum's like, no, this is production. Like, it's negotiation. It's, you have to work through things. And, like, all the emails, I keep thinking you're a little cut. And my mum's like, no, they're just not mollycoddling you because you're not the presenter. So every email, I'm like, why is she being such a bitch? My mum's like, no, she's just talking to you like a producer. Like, yeah. you're on the team. She has to be like, the budget's this, it
and
won't work
efficient.
For that. Efficient. And I just think she's being officious. And
I think he's being a very vicious.
And then like we had a venue and I was just like, I don't like this location. I don't want to film here. Oh, yeah, I called you and told you about all this.
No, I know this.
And then I fought for my location. And I swear to God, we've got it. We're doing it in Mark Ronson's old studio now in King's Cross. And the day that we like got that because I'd fought for it and I said, absolutely not, we're not filming at this other place. That was like a feeling of contentment I've never had. I felt really proud of myself for just sticking to what I know. Sometimes you don't know everything, but what you know, you know.
Yeah.
And I knew that was
are
the
there any
place.
What when you feel that when you feel as though everything's crumbling?
Please don't say crumble.
Why?
Because that's a trigger for me.
Really?
Yeah, because obviously like texture,
the brick.
Yeah, the brick.
Any other things? Melt?
No, that's nice because that's soft.
Oh, so you have like a coarse
texture
thing.
Yeah. It's like brutal. Texture.
So like smash.
I don't like that either.
Really? Do you watch many action films?
No. And I also can't even watch...
Are action films horror films to you?
No, but Grand Designs is a horror film to me now. Because it's just concrete and brick everywhere. And I still really love it. It's really upsetting.
You would have smashed it in a Stone Age. Sorry.
Stone? Just stop.
Not stone.
No, because...
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. It's
not alongside the word smash. I really shouldn't have brought this out.
No,
say
no,
what you
no.
want.
Oh, smelt.
Yeah.
Mm.
Soft. Ooh. Sticky. Gooey,
swish,
I like. Yeah,
gooey,
exactly.
Yeah,
water.
Like
do you know what really helps sometimes? Put
gushy.
In my hand. Yeah, that's... sometimes I put my hands in water.
Yeah, moisture.
Yeah, exactly.
When things are maybe less stable...
Thank you.
Are there any methods of... How do you deal with that?
Post-it notes.
Really?
Yeah. I really enjoy post-it notes.
That's explain.
So I have a... Because of the way we work, because we're working freelance people, there's a lot of things going on at the same time. You're not just going to the same office every day. So that's what I can find quite overwhelming. I'm like, oh yeah, what stage is that at? And are we doing well with that? And, da, 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 da. And I was just always a bit like, ugh. So I made a wall in my bedroom, which is each project, where it's at, and where we need to get to.
That's so responsible.
That's the most responsible thing I've ever done. But it's great, because every time I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, refer to the wall. And it's like, yeah, that's at that stage. We need to make that call to get there. It's almost like a timeline.
You're a genius.
I know. Giving yourself structure allows you to not be overwhelmed by chaos.
Also, do you feel as though you're kind of like taking the thought and just less pressure?
Yeah, because you kind of put it out and then you just see it visually rather than it just going round and round and round.
I used to do that with whiteboard paper.
Maybe you should bring that. Maybe you should bring that back into your life.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I should.
Because you have like six different projects going on at a time. Yeah. So you need to be like.
My brain's just kind of gone.
This is your defense towards that now. Just wrap up warm.
No, it's cold outside.
No, it's not.
It's really cold.
It's not that cold.
It's cold, and also this kind of get up is a little bit, you know, subversive and cool.
Good for being so honest. Okay. It's true. It is.
Listen,
subversive.
Yeah.
No, that's
the
too
whole
much.
True podcast.
That's too much.
We judge books by their covers, yeah.
That's too much.
Anyway.
I like this cord though. Oh, that's nice.
Exactly.
And soft.
Imagine how I'd have to take that off, and you know, it's just all part of the vibes.
Yeah, when we did Saigon, you did have some good looks. I was impressed. Every day was like a
Thank
whole
you.
New look.
I know. I can't wear them anymore either. No.
What do you mean?
Been on telly, isn't it?
Oh,
I'm joking. I wear the same clothes all the time.
No, actually, you don't.
I do.
When we were in Saigon, everyone had. Yes. Suitcases like this. You brought like a little handbag, and every day you had a different look.
Yeah, because
I planned it. How have you done this?
I planned it.
And you just packed a lot of linen, which
it was
down.
Absolutely boiling. I don't know what else you expect me to pack. Very efficient.
I brought like cowboy boots. I don't know what I was
because
thinking.
You're silly.
It's stupid.
I'd like to ask you this question.
Good.
No, because you've responded very openly, honestly to how are you. I think the post-it notes suggestion is brilliant. We don't necessarily consider thoughts to be a physical actuality, when actually are really very. They exist. I believe in that anyway. I'm saying that as though I'm educated.
No, I completely agree.
The energy that exists, which is why I think manifestation is a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are more powerful than we think. So if we want to make all this negative, we can really easily. In the same way that... I'd like to use my power for good instead of evil.
Yeah.
Towards myself.
Yeah. How old were you when you first became conscious of mental health? By the way, before you keep referencing Saigon...
Oh, yeah,
we need
sorry.
To make it clear. Makita and I did a show called Road to Saigon, which was basically we got paid to drive around Asia. I mean, drive loosely. Neither of us passed driving test in time, which I'm almost positive was the universe's way of saving our lives because everyone drives.
We shouldn't have been on those roads.
Zero rules. It's like one big game of chicken.
So really, we got paid to be driven around Asia.
Yeah, literally chauffeured around Asia. But genuinely, on a less comedic level, it was quite a revelatory experience, I'd say.
Oh, I think it was absolutely wonderful.
Somewhat testing for our mental health, too.
For sure. I was really proud of myself after that.
Well, you and your mum came across... Sorry, you and your mum came across really well.
Thank you.
And I was very lucky to have you guys there.
Oh, it was really nice to have you there, actually.
Was it? Is it because I'm so funny?
No, it was more like...
Thank you.
Yeah, it was because you're so funny. That's why. You weren't that funny on that trip. You were quite stressed a lot.
I was heavily edited. How old were you?
Heavily edited. I'm in love with a singer, yeah. But I want to get
richer. Life threw me a bag of lemons. No wonder I'm bitter. How old were you when you first became conscious of mental health?
I had a dream. When I was 19, and it was when this texture thing came up, and that's when I also realised that...
Really?
Yeah. I think it's a manifestation of anxiety.
Yeah, nice.
And
not
I think,
nice.
Lovely. So I hope that's what we talk... I think that's what he'll say today. Anyway, what I wanted to say is I went to this... I've been seeing all these doctors to try and figure out what to do. This one doctor, he's brilliant, charmer. Nan and Cam go to him. You have to... He was like, sometimes in life... Our brain is more scientific than you think. He's like, literally, you could have banged your head a few years ago or even a few months ago, and this could just be off. And suddenly it's like, so instead of brick wall, it's just a brick wall. It's going brick wall, anxiety, fear.
Yeah.
Because things can just be
knocked
off.
You have to go into neuroplasticity.
Yeah, it's a physical, you know, thing. You've got to almost like realign the stuff in your brain.
It's mad to think
fragile.
That. I had to do that recently. I had like a real spot. of, I mean, I don't know if I've said this on this podcast already, maybe, but I had like a week that was awful. I think I had like messed up the dosage of my medication that I was on at the time, which yeah. I'm actually not on at the moment. but I actually feel great. But it was just an unfortunate domino effect. And I had like a week of like, it was really, really tough, like horrendous feeling.
I almost
faked feeling good for like 2 to 3 days. Because it almost encourages those synapses to go, do you know what I'm trying to say? So it's like...
Talk yourself into it.
Well, because it's a pathway, isn't it? Because you get into... I feel like you get into negative mental patterns but with routine. So you see it and it, you can get really deep with trauma, of course, which isn't just easy to rewire, but that's essentially what's happened. So, you know, if I was to like walk through that door and get fucking hit by something... And I just suddenly associated a yellow wall with that trauma, you know? Mm-hmm. That's something in your brain goes...
Yeah, that's what he says.
And it glues it. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if you are to go to that and go, I'm fine with this yellow wall, it's like this thing. It's like, no. And you go, and you say it again and again, and then it goes...
Yeah. That's apparently. I have been trying to do that as well. Because I think, as we said, we are more powerful than we think. And I guess in a way, it is all just weird games in your head. So you
it's like with smoking cigarettes. I've accidentally stopped that as well.
Really?
No. When I say stopped as well, it's not like with drinking. I have had cigarettes. I'll have cigarettes socially. But like considering I'd smoke all the time.
All day,
I genuinely never think about them. Unless someone has one. And right. I'm like, oh, I love one.
Well, that's real freedom.
It's mad, isn't it?
How did you do that?
I honestly can't remember. Okay. I think it was just, you know what? How did I do that?
Do you still have tobacco when you smoke?
Probably getting Spike, yeah. Probably getting a dog as well helps because you walk in.
Distraction.
Okay.
Where do you walk Spike?
There's a park called Dogshit Park up by Queen's Park. Yeah, you can let him off the lead. But actually, I walk with him off the lead now.
I know Dogshit Park. Yeah. I think I used to run
QPCS.
There. QPCS. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. although it's wicked though, because basically I realised that when Rizzle Kicks came out, so it would have been like 6 or 7 years ago now, a lot of the kids who loved us are like Rude Boys now.
Oh, whoa. Interesting.
I love it. So I mean, obviously it, boys and girls, but I just, there's
in
a couple...
In a way, are they like, oh, it's that...
No, because you see... That's what's more fun because you think... I mean, I don't think I'm... quite as poppy as... I don't think Rizzle Kicks is quite as poppy as the pop I'm going to reference. But, like, say, for example, if for me, if I saw, like, any member of Five, I don't care where I am, where they're at in their lives, I'm excited.
I'm saying something.
do you know what I mean? Or let me try and think of a better example.
No. That's more... a great example. Can you name all of Five?
We're not like Five. Come on. Rizzle Kicks, listen, we brought hip-hop to a big market, right? You ever seen a hip-hop gig in Inverness?
Of course, you're not.
You haven't seen a hip-hop gig in Inverness since?
Okay.
See what I'm saying? 2011, Inverness. Rizzle Kicks and Matt Cardle, for fuck's sake.
Oh, my God.
Listen, no one went up there, bro. We're dropping fucking hip-hop around all these little utes out
in the suburbs.
Living in woods and that.
I do agree with you.
All right, sorry.
But you can't find another example because I think you were... Oh, yeah.
Jay Abs, Nick.
Come on, who was the pretty one that went out with Billy Piper?
Abs.
No, he's not.
There's another pretty one.
He's not pretty, but he was like smiley.
Richie. Oh, he was so off his head.
Oh, he was awful.
Yeah.
And then there was that mixed race one that no one really talked about. Sean.
They had a mixed race one in Five.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. So anyway, my point is, that I got up to the park and then they're just like, they, you know, see you and they go, oi. I used to bump your shit, blood. When I was like, they're talking about when they were like 12.
Yeah.
Love that.
And now they're all like 25.
This is not about mental health.
No.
So.
No, but it is actually because.
It is a little bit.
Let's be honest about the fact that you and I have been well known since we were young.
Uh-huh.
And I think that does really affect. That does really affect your mental health because I think it can be very, very isolating.
Yeah. The bigger you get, the smaller your world does.
Yeah. And also just like for a lot after a long time, after like 5 years, 10 years, it's all you know. So I think you can become quite introverted because you don't want to discuss it with anyone ever because everyone's like, I don't want to hear about you getting recognized, who gives a shit? So it's something...
Can't complain about fame.
Exactly.
I was told that so early.
And so it's a conversation you're constantly having with yourself about like, do I want to get on that pat train? Do I want to walk down that street? Do I want to walk
it's
in that
mad,
pub?
It's mad, isn't it?
So it's like, it makes you and your brain a bit of a weird team in a way.
It's bizarre. I always consider it like this, so how I explain it to someone. is I feel as though life is this big house, you know, and you're just making your way around certain rooms. And pretty much everyone goes to a few key rooms, you know, and then ultimately you get to a point where you go, okay, I think I've seen enough rooms. I'm going to redecorate the ones that I've already seen. But it's almost like things like fame or being exposed to a certain environment is like you open a door to a room and it is like quite exciting.
But you eventually don't want to live in it.
You don't want to live in it, but you know you have to shut it. And once it's shut, you think,
can never go back in that room.
You've seen it.
Oh, right.
So now you can't not see it. you can't not.
That's true. You can't unsee it.
Yeah.
That's actually a very weird, brilliant description of fame.
Do you know what I mean? Because so you're walking around this house and you're thinking, oh, man, that room.
Yeah, that room. Oh, that room is exciting.
It's like, and then people are like, what room? I don't understand. I'm like, listen. I just look at other rooms. Anyway.
That's amazing, Jordan. Write that one down.
What's been your best period of mental well-being?
Oh, my God. I know what it was. When I was 27 and I went bankrupt and I got dumped by Luke. And I was like, right, this is the lowest I've ever been.
Sorry, best period. I'm confused.
Because it was the first time I took things into my own hands and I was like, this is not my story. I'm going to change everything. And I lost 2 stone and got 3 jobs.
Amazing.
And I got less money again. I was like, wow, how the hell did I do that? And I did it in like a month. So it was like the best. And because I thought I was in so much pain because I was just trying to not deal with bankruptcy and heartbreak. And that's when I started training with Mackenzie every day. But it was just so great watching my body physically change and also just putting it out there. I was like, I want work. I want to work again.
Yeah, you realizing you responded.
That exactly, I sort of like changed the way the world reacted towards me. And it was so empowering. And I only lasted about 6 months, but it was a good 6 months. And I still refer to it now. I'm like, really? Ah, that's 6 months.
What changed?
I got complacent again because he came back to me and I made money again. So I was like, all right, well, I don't have to deal with like going to the gym all the time and being powerful. I'll just go back into these routine. So I think that's the other thing about mental health. It's like consistency is key. And I'm so like this. So it's just about trying to find a way to be a little bit more placid, might be the wrong word, but just a little bit calmer rather than extremes.
Yeah, the spikes.
The spikes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that was the last time I felt really good.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
But I feel like you've had quite a good spell recently.
That's the thing, though. That's the interesting thing about mental health is, like, I find it more of a head fuck if things are going well and I don't feel particularly connected or present to them. Like, it's easy when you're like, well, everything's shit. That's why I feel like shit. When things are, like, going pretty good and you're still like, ugh, that I find really difficult.
That's really interesting.
Because that's confusing.
Well, that's imposter syndrome.
Yeah. And all these things that you thought you needed to get to make you happy, like commissions and weight loss and a bit more money, they're not doing it for you. And you're like...
And then you start to judge yourself.
And you're like...
Feel guilty for not feeling good.
Absolutely. And I'm like, oh God, where the hell do I go now? These things used to satiate me. Mm. And if they're not, what do I do next? Because you can't... It's like your old tools aren't working anymore. And that's when you... Which is why I'm...
It's almost like a paper cut, isn't it? You know, one of those things where, you know, the weird thing where if you have like a big injury, your body sends so many endorphins that you kind of adjust, even though it's terrifying.
Like if you broke your leg.
Yeah, or broke a leg, or if it, you know, you've it's just something that like inconceivable to your thoughts, but in actuality of it happening, you just got to go with it. It's almost like heartbreak, and I mean.
Oh yeah, yeah, the big ones.
Yeah, but then like it's just the little cut.
Because it's like niggling.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, these things are going really well in your life, but
remember, this is still stinging. This is still stinging.
Yeah,
that's actually very much it. And I think that maybe it's also about not trying to ever eradicate these things, because maybe we don't ever lose these things. It's just about being able to bloody handle them.
I will say though, I didn't respond like that to heartbreak. At all.
Yes, you did.
I didn't really.
Which heartbreak are we talking about?
I'm talking about one last year.
Right.
It wasn't... I put on a brave face and I managed to channel my, I suppose, introspection.
But what do you mean that you didn't do?
I'm only just now becoming myself again.
Wow. But you... So actually, getting the person back wasn't necessarily the healing part of the heartbreak.
No.
Which is quite insane.
Well, no, because it's not that. I don't think there's, you know, there's a certain level where that is kind of like an equal sum, you know. But I think it was for a lot of people, deep emotional pain is representative of a little more than the situation.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it becomes a trauma.
100%.
Add it to the list of traumas.
Exactly. But trauma that's reflective of previous trauma.
Yeah.
You know, we do live in these kind of suspended...
Oh, totally. When I got properly, like, dumped by that person and I was really heartbroken, it was, like, all about being rejected by my dad and stuff when I was a kid. It wasn't just about him. It was about bigger, like, pain in the past just coming and rushing
back. Do you think... What's your opinion on self-awareness like that? Do you think, because right now it's quite topical, I think, for people to, well, just to set the scene. Mm. We are in a time now where millennials especially, which I think you'd just fall into.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I think we're in a, for real though, where the mental health is being challenged more than ever. Just because of the advances of technology, and also because of the parental environments in which we grew up in. Mm. For us, there are some intersections in regards to that. But I feel as though, you know, some people would argue that this getting on with it, you know, that getting on with it sometimes, you know, it's the idea of like, don't re-traumatize yourself.
Yeah.
You know, just don't move and be you. And this is something I kind of grapple with. I think ultimately I know that my standing is that I am happier that I understand where my pain comes from in order to make better decisions. But do you think that is the...
I agree. I think a lot of living in my 20s was not even having any talk with myself about what had happened in all the years of my life before that. And I think that's the only way. I think Lily said it perfectly when she quote in her book. Yeah. But she said, like, we only understand like where the hell we're going when we think about where we're from. And I think that's, as a society, that's
a big statement, a true
testament. But also personally, like, you only really know how to get anywhere when you understand where the hell you've been and why and what happened there. So actually, I think it's deeply, deeply important to look back to go forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and at the time when I didn't, I was a mess, as you know. So I think it's become a huge part of my life now.
So actually, I realised we haven't done the reverse. What was your worst time mentally?
Worst time mentally.
How's you know? Because interestingly, you've responded to what seems to be quite a big shift in your life, but you responded positively. So
yeah,
what would you say is your worst period of mental well-being?
I think probably just before that, the year when I knew I was about to go bankrupt, when I knew I was about to get dumped.
Oh,
like the impending sense of doom and doing nothing to try and stop it, instead hurtling even quicker and far. I just started spending money like a crazy person because I was like, oh, I'm going bankrupt anyway. It wasn't even going bankrupt.
Just going to do a disclaimer about like a crazy person. This is a Whole Truth podcast.
Sorry.
We're actually an anti-stigma campaign.
like someone who didn't know what they were up to.
It's fine. We're not too pedantic here. But I mean, you will.
So be. Yeah. So I think that's actually a lot harder when you know it's all about to fall apart,
yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it, or you think there's nothing you can do about it, and you just are laying in wait.
Yeah, it's tough.
Oh,
that was ominous awful. Doom is yeah. probably the biggest source of anxiety.
I just think exercise is just, and I don't mean like just train, but like just jump, move. Like I got really into skipping, and it's like really changed
Skipping's
my life.
Great.
I love skipping. It turns out I'm a brilliant skipper.
Really?
Like I'm really can you incredible. Cross your arms yes.
Everything? Really?
I can do double Dutch.
Wow.
Georgie, that was training, was like, I don't know. She was like, this is like a gift you have.
Oh my god, maybe they're skipping.
I can do double, like you know, when you go like around twice.
Nikita, you should hone this.
I was gonna start like a skipping club.
Oh my god!
Because it's really good. Because it's a quid.
Do you know without the skipping rope? I mean, just actually skipping.
Oh, yeah. What like?
No, just skipping along the street. I challenge anyone to do that and be unhappy
and not have a good time. I did
you
it with my.
I just can't. You cannot frown and skip at the same time.
But that's why I wanted to start a skipping club, because I think what we all are always trying to do is go back to a child state of sort of innocence and play. Mm. And I think skipping, not only is your heart rate going up, so physically it's just great for your endorphins, but it makes you feel like a child. And yeah. also there's a sense of achievement if you do it well.
Yeah.
So you just wait. You just wait for my skipping
Yeah, I do club. Think adulthood is greatly flawed.
Yeah, and also not as fun as the other bit.
Yeah, I think you can balance it. I think sometimes it's
I think people drinking and going to the pub is trying to feel like kids again.
Well, I mean, I'd say most drunk people act like total babies, actually.
Yeah. That's silly.
Sometimes I see someone crawling
no,
and
totally.
Go, that's what? That's actually an infant.
Yeah, alcohol is infantilizing.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are trying to return there.
Oh, you were a good drunk sometimes.
Thank you. Thank you. We have mentioned music a few times. We've partnered with a few charities, and a whole playlist has been collated. I think we're also doing a music for mental health, which I'd love you to come to, actually, 18th November.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rantash. I haven't missed it yet, have I?
No, 18th of November. And big thing for us, that. Great lineup,
it's
very
huge.
Exciting at the Roundhouse.
I know, circle.
Thank you. Aiming for O2 next year, no biggie. But
what?
Yeah, we're gonna aim for it next year.
Oh, aim right. for it.
Yeah, I think we could have done it.
I think
this year. Anyway, no. Well, regardless, also Roundhouse is amazing sound. But I think music is just this language that everyone shares, and I think it is intrinsic in terms of people's recovery. And sometimes even I know that I can't listen to certain songs, or I can listen to certain songs, and I'm taken to a place, moved away from a place. So,
I agree.
Yes. Are there any songs that remind you of being in a good place? Are there any songs that remind you of being in a bad place? Is there a go-to album for you?
Yeah, I can't listen to Otis Redding, Try a Little Tenderness. But I listened to that when I had my first heartbreak.
Oh.
Over and over. It's not even really about heartbreak either.
Well, it's actually a man instructing some very healthy...
Yeah, like, be kind.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I was like, God's sake, Otis, why? Yeah. Why did you go?
Yeah, it was bad though. And I cannot listen to it even now.
Oh, man,
the other day I listened to Silverchair all day. And do you know who that is?
Is that a band?
Yes.
Silverchair.
Yeah, like an Australian indie.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, they don't?
They were like, just after Nirvana, but they were like, hardcore and brutal but brilliant melodies and like almost like soulful. Like he's got Daniel Johns has this brilliant soulful, I can't even explain his voice. I think he's probably one of my favorite vocalists of all time.
Wow.
And I just listened to the album Frogstomp beginning to end the other day, and I was like, I'm 15, and I was so 15. I felt 15. Like all these memories
really?
Came up, and it was just joy. It was a day of joy. So actually any grunge music, because I was so
grunge,
you know, when you're
divine.
Yeah, but when you're young, what music you're listening to defines you. So for me, it wasn't like, oh yeah, we listened to Silverchair, but we were Silverchair fans. Like that was who we were. So listening to all the music from that time, I just was transported back to like being on the cusp of becoming a teenager and how excited you felt and all like the possibilities of everything. That was really nice. So I think if I ever need to feel uplifted, I always listen to some good old Silverchair or Nirvana or Hole.
Great. One last question is, if you had a whole hour, which is something we've been promoting, it's an hour in a day where our phones are not at the centre of our attention. Ironically,
you find out about it via your phone. But then you put the phone down.
Yeah.
What would you do with your whole hour?
Skip.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Makita. that is the whole truth.
Mm. Okay, I have to go get hypnotized now.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Powered by Spirit Studios.